It was late afternoon when I arrived at Bramifam, the hillside farm half an hour northwest of Nice, where Julia Child and her husband Paul once spent their summers. This was my first trip to Provence, and so far it was everything I'd expected. Julia's house, La Pichoune, or Little Thing, is a classic stucco French country home with a red tile roof, nestled among olive groves that once provided this 300-year-old estate with income. My hostess, Kathy Alex, greeted me with a pair of traditional French pecs on either cheek. A former accountant from California, Alex fell under the spell of Provence 20 years ago when she signed up for a class with French cooking instructor Simone Beck, whose family owns the farm. Beck and Julia met in the 40s in Paris, where Paul Child was attached to the U.S. Embassy. Sharing a love of French food, the two women collaborated on Mastering the Art of French Cooking, the first American cookbook to cover the basics of French cuisine. In 1961, Beck invited Julia to move to Bramifam and build her own home there, La Pichoune. Though Julia's TV show was filmed in Boston, it was here in Provence, says Alex, where her career took shape.
You know, it's a place that history evolved. I mean, James Beard used to come and stay here. Craig Claiborne, they all used to come at certain times of the year and have their stay at Bramifam.
Culinary pilgrims, myself included, still come to stay at La Pichoune, where Alex, now a trained cooking instructor, offers a week-long course entitled Cooking with Friends in France. Held May through June and September through October, the $1,850 course is a week-long immersion in the food and culture of Provence.
Bonjour, madame.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Café?
Mm-hmm.
Bon.
Bon appétit.
Merci.
Each day began with a light breakfast of rich dark coffee, croissants, and freshly squeezed orange juice. At night, we were on our own, free to check out the innumerable bistros and brasseries in the area. But the middle of the day, and the hours leading up to it, were devoted to lunch, one of France's greatest contributions to civilization. The French don't just do lunch, they celebrate it. First, there's apéritif, some slices of crusty French bread, perhaps, smeared with tapenade, a heady concoction of mashed olives, garlic, anchovies, and capers. And, of course, there are the wines. Shy, delicate whites, amazingly dry rosés, and serious, full-bodied reds, as fragrant and colorful as a bed of roses. And that's just the beginning. Then comes a first course, a second course, followed by cheese, then dessert, then coffee, which the French consider a course in itself, accompanied by thin, buttery cookies, or maybe a tray of chocolates. Whew. By the time you roll away from the table 3 hours later, you're not so much ready to conquer the world as you are to take a good long nap in it. Our daily assignment, if you will, was to spend the morning observing and helping Alex create such feasts, which we all naturally got to eat.
Ooh, that's a little peppery. Mm.
Which one? Which one's peppery?
That one.
The fruity one?
Mm.
Because the kitchen at La Pichoune is small, Alex limits the number of students to 8. They run the gamut from cooking professionals to professionals who rarely have time to cook. The week I was there, my classmates included a French restaurant owner from Boston and his girlfriend, a Hollywood publicist who was treating his mother to the course, and a history professor and his wife who didn't like to cook but came along for the ride. And some ride it was. We made beer-battered zucchini flowers, peeled asparagus like surgeons, and learned how to use our hands, eyes, and ears to cut a chicken into 8 equal portions.
And what I want to feel is the bone against that knife. Can you hear it? See, we're cooking with our ears again, guys.
Not wanting to keep her students enslaved over a hot oven all week long, Alex included a couple of field trips to the glamorous shores of the Côte d'Azur. One day we dined at a 2-star restaurant in Antibes, playground of F. Scott Fitzgerald and his bunch, and went behind the scenes in a professional kitchen. Another day, we headed to nearby Cannes, home to the famous film festival, to visit the open market and a unique subterranean establishment called the Cheese Cave, or Cave in French.
Okay, this Cave is the soft, soft-crusted cheeses like Brie and Camembert, Cendré, which you had on Sunday.
This crypt-like labyrinth of vaulted arches has more delicately adjusted temperature and humidity controls than the Smithsonian. The lord of this underworld is Robert Sinnery, a second-generation affineur, or master cheese ripener, whose job is to babysit great big wheels of Parmesan, Brie, and the like, making sure they're all aging just so.
It's like with wine. In a wine cave, you've got the sommelier guy who's always turning the bottles. With us, it's the same. We turn the cheeses over and we look under them. We look underneath to make sure they're getting the right amount of moisture. You have to watch how they're going to react in a cave.
Although cheese and wine and bread and you name it, just about anything that's served up in a glass or on a plate, is serious business in France, Alex reminds her students not to forget to enjoy themselves once in a while.
What I'm trying to convey is that cooking should be fun, too. If you're not having fun in the kitchen, you know, then I think you need not to do that. And I think that that is what Julia has conveyed over the years, is that if you have a mistake, you can always put a piece of parsley over it or a piece of mint and say that's the way it was supposed to be, right?
Still working my way through lunch here in the heart of the French Riviera, I'm Tom Verdi for The Savvy Traveler.